Our own voice, huh? Father, I just give myself to you. I use this mouth with clean teeth. I got my teeth cleaned yesterday, so use this mouth for your glory, for your honor. Gosh, Sherry, you really said something that grabbed me this morning with what you shared. Before I start, though, I want to tell you that I'd like to kind of use this today on a format that's kind of like Sunday school. Let's just all, you know, I want you guys and me to like almost have a chat. And if you got something to say, raise your hand and say it, you know, something to add, some reason you want to call me wonderful, or, you know, or say, isn't God great, or shut up, or something like that. Okay, yeah, and, you know, if you feel that way, and Lord knows you might, because this kind of, everything that the Lord gave me today just came in a mishmash, which is the way I get most things these days, because you know why. I'm not going to say it again. So I saw this thing and I posted it, and I thought, well, I wonder if this is, I'm going to find a way to fit this in, because I really loved it. And then Sherry spoke about what she spoke about, and I thought, wow, this is just, this goes so right along with it. I just thought I'd go ahead and read it. I was actually going to ask Oscar if I could read this, because I think it gets a little bit on the cusp of, you know. Anyway, this is something that I read on somebody's website. So this is not from God, but it's good. Many today struggle with the concept that God never held anything against us. We get that way when we watch a lot of TV. The belief that we must come begging God to forgive us, or else he closes the door to union and eternal bliss. God is love, and love holds no record of wrongs. And I thought I better look that up, so I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is in the NIV. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So this big book, you know, that God is going to supposedly judge us by, and, you know, when we wake up in the morning and we are feeling like the lowest worm on the planet because we told one of our kids off, or we said something mean to somebody, or even something much worse than that. God holds no records of wrong. He is always there to just put his arms around you and to tell you that, hey, I love you with an eternal love. Oh, okay, I'm going to go on. The problem is self-hatred. When one hates themselves, they create the God of their own making, who is morbid and abusive. Personal offense is like the bars of a castle. Who you are, who you truly are in the eyes of our Father, is hidden from your awareness when you are indebted to yourself. When God shows up, absent the whip, absent religion, religion doesn't know what to do. The insecurities rise, and they scramble for a rebuttal through misappropriation of the scriptures. God's not carrying a whip. He doesn't want to beat us into subjection. Jesus made it clear. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You were called, justified, and glorified. Past tense. He said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Unless, of course, you believe Jesus was only referring to those 10 or 20 people standing around the cross. I guess that would mean he is partial, or maybe the Father didn't hear his prayer. Let's take it deeper. The handwriting that was against you was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Or what about the fact that Jesus proves he has never held one thing against us by committing to us the commission of forgiveness? Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. We want to forgive the way Jesus forgave. This brings us to the point. The reason people are not experiencing true forgiveness is because the church has not administered it to one another. Forgive as Christ forgave you. Now, if you don't believe Christ forgave you, there's going to be a big problem forgiving others or even believing Christ has forgiven all mankind. Sometimes American Christianity makes no sense. It is finished, but we still need to be forgiven. God is love, but he's going to fry people in hell. God is good, but only if you don't make him angry. We are victorious as long as somebody doesn't curse us. This is why we have so many denominations and divisions today. How many did Jesus demand to repent and ask for forgiveness before he healed them? The old goose egg. And which is easier, your sins be forgiven or rise up and walk? It's time to get past all the internal sense of worthlessness and enter the bliss of unbreakable union. It has always been there, even though we did not recognize it. So that's the little reading that I saw that I thought was interesting. And I just wanted to share it with you. The title of what I'm going to talk to you about is, I think, if we get around to even talking about it, is Last Man Standing, not the show on TV. But the Lord keeps bringing this to me. How many men are in the world today? How many men? If reality were to break forth, how many men would be in the world today? Just one? Just one. Last man standing. First Corinthians chapter 15 says, I got it. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual didn't come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man is Yahweh from the realm of heaven. The first one, made from dust, has a race of people just like him who are also made from dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now, let us carry the likeness of the man from heaven. There's only one man. You know who the one man is? That one man is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not 1,000 people being like Christ. I can't get away from the wonderful scripture in Gospel of John. I love to read it in chapter 17, the Great Commission. It kind of goes on for a little while, but I'm going to read it anyway. I have manifested thy name, this is Jesus talking, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave to me. And they have received them. And they have known surely that I came from thee. And have believed all that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that you gave me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. Okay, mine and thine, and the thines and the mines. I'm going to go down a little bit because I'm getting lost. Let's see. Let's try here. The glory that thou gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus speaking to his Father, that we may be one with him in the very same way that he is one with his Father. And thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Do you know we're going to be made perfect? In one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and they may behold thy glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. God loved the Christ before the foundation of the world, the Christ, the body of Christ, all of creation. O righteous Father, the world hath not, and I'm going to put in there, yet known me. Before the foundation, righteous Father, the world hath not yet known me, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, he also said, Father, the hour has come to glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That was Jesus talking. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. You know what was before the world? Because remember when I talked to you the last time, I said, when in the beginning, it says, God created, it's in the beginning, Elohim created the earth, the heavens and the earth. That was not in the beginning of eternity. That was in the beginning of the creation of the timeness, the time eon, the era that we are in. There's a beginning to this time, and there's going to be an end to time, to the time part, okay? And Christ was in God and was loved by God before, okay? And then Elohim, the plural Elohim, created the earth and the earth and time. And that started this, okay? Now, let me see if I can. Christ, let me go to Philippians, kind of getting a little confused in myself. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Okay, so we're going to start thinking like Christ. That's what it's telling us to do. Who? This is going to blow you away. I mean, if you really think about it, if you see it and perceive it and understand it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He became a man and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also mightily, highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that by the name of Jesus, every single one of the knees should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Okay, now, the Bible also says that sin came into the world through man. And so, by Christ's death on the cross, sin was forever dealt with by a man, because it says here that he knew he was in the form of God, but he humbled himself. What does that mean? He lowered himself. You know, there was a plane of awareness that was up, and now we're in a plane of awareness that is down lower. And God is doing the work in us. There's nothing that we can do to accept daily do his will. Whatever that little piece of the pie is for us for this 24-hour period, because the time overshadows things and our mental capacity overshadows things, but that is God's plan, okay? No murmuring allowed, no griping. God's plan is that through a relationship with him, we should come to understand who he is, who we are, okay? This is just where God just doesn't let me get away from this. Now, God says he will not give his glory to another, okay? But here in John 17, he said, Father, I'm coming back, and the glory that was with me, with you, before time, give that back to me. And the glory which I had here, I'm going to give it to them. And that glory that was the anointing of the body of Christ, he's giving to us. Not only is he giving to us, it is ours. He gave it to us then. We don't fully see it. We don't fully perceive it. We don't fully understand it because it hasn't been given to us to do that yet. But by golly, I'll tell you, something's happening in the world today, because somehow something's opened up to the people of God. Oh, if reality were to break forth, what does the Bible say? We will be just like him. That's what he gave us. That's our calling. The only thing about it, when it's fully made aware to us, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier, don't you think? It's going to be a lot easier to forgive people, because we're not under this bondage of this brain that tells us we're worthless worms who deserve to burn in hell for all eternity. We got to get rid of that stuff. You know, God allows brokenness to come to his people. I got to say, we talked about brokenness in Sunday school today. I was blessed to be broken by God. I didn't feel it at the time. But what a blessing to understand when somebody who is not like me is going through a breaking. to have the only thing I feel for him is compassion. Not judgment. We don't judge. And to go sit down, and put my arms around him, and cry with him. Say, you know what, it's going to get better. I know just how you feel. You know, I've been there. It's going to be better. It's okay. You're being broken. And these are the things that are precious to God. Service to others. Loving others as ourselves. Loving God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. They are the simple things of which God is made. God is love. What was it you said today? Truth without mercy? Mm-mm. Truth without mercy is nothing but judgment. And righteousness, what do you say? Truth and mercy. Truth is always met with mercy. Truth and mercy you meet together. They're always together. If they're from God, they're together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. You know, and that's what makes you understand that if you have peace, then your righteousness is of God. Because self-righteousness does not bring peace. Take it from me. Queen of self-righteousness. And let me tell you something else. Learning how to ask forgiveness is also one of the most therapeutic things in the world. We all know when we've hurt someone. We all know when we've stepped on somebody's neck, you know. There's nothing that makes me feel more, I can say this in the right way, and I think you'll understand, that God is pleased with me, although I know he always is, that God is pleased with me is when I truly ask forgiveness with no buts. You know what I mean? But you did this, but, you know, and that peace, the peace with comes that comes from those things, peace means more to me than anything. There was one reading that we did this morning that was about the glory of God. We didn't read out of this. I was just reading it in Sunday school. The glory of God deluges, shines above the person who is knelt at the feet of Jesus. And that struck a chord with me, because when I feel that feeling of being right-sized with God, he is God, I am not. Of being at his feet, not in slavery, not even in servitude, but in love, at his feet, in love, listening, appreciating, adoring, wanting everything about him. That's when I feel more the peace of God than any time, you know? And anyway, that's really about all that probably I have to say. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's it. But if anybody has anything they'd like to add, subtract, multiply, or divide. Huh? Well, you want to beat the Baptist to lunch? Okay. Father, thank you for this mishmash. I love you, Lord. I love you, and I just like to share your word. I do. And Father, when we leave here, don't let them remember the stupid things I said, Father, but let them remember the truth that you've given me, however much it was, to change lives, to never murmur, to never complain, to always forgive, to always have compassion. Oh, Father, It won't happen in one day, but it will happen one of these days. Father, we ask that you become more real to us every day. We ask that until the day comes, that you come into focus fully, that we can see you as you really are. And Father, until that day, help us to just love each other, because then they'll all believe that you are really who you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, mercy formed by grace, clothed in favor, I found my place. He won't let us forget, he has made us to sit in high places, made with mercy. Formed by grace. Mm-hmm. That's where I got that line. He won't let us forget. Trust him.